one world predicted, and by the looks of it, one world coming soon. This will be the theme for the sermon today, and the scripture reference is Revelation chapter 13. Bear with me as I read the whole chapter to you, Revelation chapter 13. And the theme, keep in mind please, is the prediction of the one world government. Chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Please keep your Bibles open to Revelation chapter 13. Today you hear a lot about globalization. This is a term that is used by a lot of people today, especially the leaders of the world. Globalization is tops in the agenda of world leaders today. And there is this relentless push towards one world. You know the recent Beijing Olympics? Can you remember what was the slogan of the Olympics? One world, one dream. Correct? One world, one dream. This underscores the agenda of the whole world today to become one. And dear friends, it is no dream. This one world concept, this one world will become a reality one day, and I believe it will become a reality very soon, considering the things that are happening in the world today. And this should not surprise us. This should not take us unawares, because the Bible already predicted this 2,000 years ago. Right here in the book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, the Apostle John wrote these divinely inspired words of prophecy. And we want to take note of these words. Revelation 13, verse 1 and 2, we read, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority." And the last part of verse 7 says, "And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." He has power and authority over the whole world. Now God has himself preserved all these inspired words of prophecy for our learning. We are not children of darkness, but children of light. God has given us his knowledge and his wisdom. We must know prophecy. We must know what will happen in the future so that we might live wisely and not foolishly. Know for sure that a new world and a one world order is coming. A world that will be controlled by one man, a global dictator. And he is moved and energized by none other than Satan himself. And this we know from verses 2 and 4. He is empowered by the dragon. And the dragon is none other than Satan, the old serpent who appeared in the garden, who tempted Adam and Eve and caused the whole of mankind to fall. Now this one world dictator is known as the beast here in Revelation 13, the beast. But he has many other names. For instance, in 1 John 2:18, he is called the Antichrist. And then in Daniel 7 verse 8, he is the little horn. In Daniel 11:36, he is the willful king. In 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 2, he is the man of sin. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he is called the son of perdition. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8, he is the wicked one. So he, this Antichrist, will set up a one world order, a one world system. What will this one world order and one world system be like? What will it be like? Now here in Revelation 13, it tells us what the one world that is coming will be like. And it has the following characteristics. All right, please take note of what the one world order and system will be like. Firstly, the one world that is coming will have a one world government. A one world government. One day, one man will have power over the whole world. In Revelation 13 verse 3, we are told that the dragon will give this power to this one person. And he will have this power, the seat of authority, and will govern the whole world. And by God's permission, Satan has this ability now to confer power on a human being, power over the world, because Satan is called the god of this world. So by God's permission, God has given Satan power over the world. He's the God of this world. And to whom Satan would choose, he will give his power to such a man, right, to rule on his behalf. You know, we remember the time when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And when Jesus was tempted, what was one of the temptations? You remember, don't you, how the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, isn't it? Tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did Satan say? If you will fall down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Satan is able to do that now. And how we thank the Lord that the Lord did not succumb to the devil's temptation. Yes, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, so that he might be our Savior, our Mediator, our great High Priest. So when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. How did Jesus reply? How did Jesus answer back? Jesus told the devil, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We must only worship the living and true God, and no one else. Never worship Satan, never worship the angels, never worship the animals, all these creatures. Never worship yourself, never worship any man. Worship only the Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan one day will tempt this one man. He is not the Christ, he is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, this man who desires for power over the whole world, will kowtow, will bow down and worship the devil. And the devil will give him power and authority over all the kingdoms of the world. The Antichrist will come. He is coming. And he will show himself in time to come. So there will be this one world that he will rule. He will rule over. And now when we look at the world, we see this one world taking shape, don't we? In this globalized age, we are seeing the grouping of nations into regional blocks. And ultimately, all these regional unions and regional blocks will merge into a one world order and a one world system. There will be a one world union, finally, and a one world ruler. And already we have the European Union. Will we see an American Union, an African Union, an Asian Union? I don't think this is unlikely. In fact, there's a whole lot of talk right now for such unions. And it might just happen in the foreseeable future. And such unions are something that the world desires, because such unions, they say, the end result will be what? Stability, there'll be peace, there'll be prosperity, right? So there's something worthy, something we must work towards, something we must get, something good. Nations will look for it, and there'll be a one world union. And in order to hold the world together, there must come a man. There must come a man who will command the respect and the admiration of the whole world. And the Antichrist will arise one day, and he will be such a man. And he will be a great and mighty orator, very skilled in speech. He will be able to speak powerfully and persuasively. He can move your heart. He can change your mind. with his words, and the world will love him. But when he speaks, the Bible tells us that he will speak great things, very, very proud and boastful things. And not only that, he will also speak blasphemies. He will speak against God. And this we read in Revelation 13 verse 5. And Revelation 13 verse 6 tells us, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. In other words, he would be someone who would blame God for every wrong thing that happens on earth. A false accuser not only of the brethren, a false accuser of God. That is what Satan is. All the ills of the world and of society, it is God's fault. God is to be blamed. But now I've come, and I will make right. I will heal all the ills that God had placed on this earth. I will heal the world that God has made sick. And people would love him. See, today, people are very anti-God, isn't it? Very atheistic, agnostic. They don't like to believe that there is a God, a judgment to come, and how we must be accountable to him. They want to live their own lives. No such thing as truth, objective truth. There is no truth. Anything can be truth. I am truth. You are truth. I am God. You are God. Anyone can be God. And if someone can come and speak such things that fit my agenda, my ambition, my philosophy, my lifestyle, I will make him number one. I will worship him. I will believe him. Well, the Antichrist will come and do this. He will take the place of Christ. He will try to dethrone Christ and make himself God. And everyone will be amazed at him, at his power. No one can defeat him. No one can challenge him. Revelation 13 verse 4 tells us, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? No one. And Satan will make sure of that, you see. Now, with absolute power to rule will come the sinful desire to be worshipped. And for this to happen, the one world ruler, now having a one-world government, will make a one-world religion. A one-world religion. His religion, you see. He is God. And Revelation 13 verse 8 tells us that all unbelievers, all who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, will bow down and worship the Antichrist one day. Look at verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. All unbelievers, all who do not bear the name of Christ. And the Antichrist will have the assistance of another beast. And he is the false prophet who will also arise. And this false teacher of religion, this false prophet, is described in verse 11. Look at verse 11. It says here, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and he doeth great wonders, and so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now this other beast, the second beast, is the false religious teacher that will emerge in the future, who will partner the Antichrist to deceive the whole world. He is the false prophet. And this false prophet is able to perform miracles. And of course, these miracles do not come from heaven. These miracles come from hell. Right? Satanic miracles, counterfeit miracles. And don't we see a whole lot of such counterfeit and false and fake miracles today? We do see a whole lot of them. And that's only a prelude, a glimpse of you know, what is to come. This ultimate false prophet who will perform all these signs and wonders, and these signs and wonders are meant to deceive, to draw people away from the Lord Jesus Christ and from His truth, from His word, and to point people to this one man, the Antichrist. They should fall down and worship him. And those who refuse to follow, those who refuse to kowtow to the Antichrist, the false prophet, will cause them to be killed. Right? They'll be executed. And this you can read in verse 12 and verse 15. Now the false prophet here is described as someone who has two horns like a lamb. He looks like a lamb. Have you seen a lamb before? Very cute, right? Looks very innocent. Looks very harmless. Well, the false prophet will look like that in appearance. Looks like a very, very pious man. A religious man. But the false prophet is really a wolf in sheep's clothing. Jesus already warned us many, many times about the wolf in sheep's clothing. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like the dragon. All right? He looks like the lamb. He speaks like the dragon. He speaks like whom? Like Satan himself. Like the devil himself. And Jesus had already warned us, beware. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7 verse 15. So as believers, as Christians, we better be able to discern the true from the false. Please don't be naive. Please don't be gullible. Please be very discerning. God did not give us His word for nothing. His word is truth. His word is meant to educate us, to inform us, to give us wisdom and understanding, so that in this dark world that we live in, we might have the light to shine out, to know where are the places of darkness, where are the dangers, where are the traps, so that we might avoid them. Discern truth from error, dear friends. And when we judge someone, please never judge according to the flesh. Please don't judge a book by its cover, as the saying goes, right? Don't just judge a person by the way he looks. More often than not, that's how we judge, because we have been taught to judge that way, isn't it? That's why today in the marketing field, you know, branding and marketing, things are very glossy, right? You must design something that is very nice looking, and all your advertisements must be done very colorfully, with a whole lot of gloss, with nice designs to attract the attention. Something that looks good must be good. This is what we have been programmed to think. Not only through the media, through advertisements, magazines, and so on and so forth, newspapers, but also from television and movies. This is the way of Hollywood. The rule of Hollywood, isn't it? The good man or the hero is the tall, the dark, and the handsome guy, right? No, please don't go by this rule. we might just be deceived. We follow this rule. Go by the rule of God's holy word. Don't go by the rule of Hollywood. Go by the rule of holy word, the holy scriptures. The Bible tells us in John 7:54, judge not according to the appearance. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And that would mean not looking at the face, but at the heart. Look at the heart. You see, how can we tell the heart? How can we look at the heart? How can we know what is inside of a person? Well, that's how the Lord looks at things. That's how the Lord judges. Now, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Lord told Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. How can we see or know the heart? How can we discern the true heart from the false heart? Not easy, but it's possible. God tells us how. The Lord Jesus tells us how. And that we find in Matthew chapter 7. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. We are not left clueless. We are given instructions. We are told how we might discern and tell to identify the good and to shun the evil. Matthew 7, verse 16. Right? Matthew 7, verse 16 through 23. Let me read for you. Here Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hath cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We must do the will of God. And the will of God is found in the Word of God. These people call Jesus Lord, Lord, and even can perform miracles, prophesy in his name. Well, that is what the false prophet will do one day. He will perform miracles. But does he know the Lord? Most definitely not. The false prophets look like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. And then his deeds will also show. He will cause you to turn away from the living and true God to worship a man, the Antichrist. That's how you tell, you see, by his speech and by his deeds. You will know what is in the heart. The speech and the deeds will reveal what is inside. And the false prophet will only seek the glory of man, not the glory of God. His motto will be, I must increase. And God, he must go down. He must decrease. That's how you tell. He will seek the glory of man. He will seek the glory of the Antichrist. And not the glory of Christ. You see? How do we know that a prophet is true? Why was John the Baptizer the greatest prophet and Jesus commended him? Because John the Baptizer, he says, Christ must increase and I must decrease. You see, that was why he was the greatest of all the prophets. But this false prophet is totally the opposite. I must increase. The Antichrist must increase. Christ must be put down. Must be blasphemed. Must decrease. That's how you tell. So don't look at the outward appearance. Don't go by the looks. Go by the heart. Examine the heart, and you can tell the heart by the words and by the deeds. Okay? And so a one world religion will take shape. In fact, it is now taking shape. Already the World Council of Churches and the ecumenical movement, the evangelicals and Catholics together, documents of 1994 and 1997, has already broken down the walls of truth and brought together the Roman Catholic Church and the Evangelical or Protestant Church to become a united body, mixing truth with error. And the Lutheran World Federation has forgotten the Reformation, has denied the Reformation on October 31st, 1999. The Lutheran World Federation, I mean the denomination that was named after Martin Luther, the 16th century Protestant reformer, who earnestly contended for the faith, who said the just shall live by faith, not by works. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone. And he preached the good news of Jesus Christ in all its purity. And then the Lutheran denomination arose through him. Take a stand for the truth and for the good news. Now the Lutheran Church, the sons of Luther, are saying, Luther made a mistake, Reformation was a mistake, we are now joined back with the Roman Catholic Church. And that happened already in 1999. So now you have already the walls broken down, right? The walls of truth. And now the next step will be to unite all the religions together. And this is already being done through the United Religions Initiative, URI, the United Religions Initiative, which was founded in the year 2000, in San Francisco. And this movement is gaining momentum. The coming false prophet will use this one world religion to usher in the worship of the Antichrist. And that's why it's important, dear friends, to not only believe the scriptures, but to obey the scriptures. And one of the important doctrines and commandments that we must obey today is the doctrine of separation. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If we fail to obey the commandment of separation, we will be sucked in by this ecumenical crowd, this false religion that is being created by Satan and by the false prophet, that will take shape. And the only resistance and immunity we have is this doctrine of separation that God has given to us in His Word. Come out from them. Be separate. Unless we take this commandment seriously, we will eventually join in this bandwagon and fall away from the faith, as many denominations have now fallen from the faith, even denying the Lord, denying the virgin birth of Christ, denying the inerrancy of the Scriptures, denying the miracles of Christ, the substitutionary atonement, the resurrection of Christ, and a whole lot of other fundamental doctrines. Why? Because they have not kept themselves separated. And a doctrine of separation is a doctrine of preservation. It preserves our testimony. It preserves our faith. And how we thank the Lord that our forefathers, the founders of the Bible Presbyterian Church, has put that in our constitution, one whole article on it, article number 6. You can read it in your bulletin today. Must take that article very, very seriously. especially in these last days. And then we must also earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So there'll be a one world government, one world religion. What else? One more thing. Revelation 13, verse 16 to 18 tells us there'll be a one world economy. One world economy. It says here, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the name or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and this number is 666. All right? In other words, 666. Right. So that is the number. One day, everyone living on planet Earth will be required to take this number, to receive the mark of the beast in order to survive and subsist. You will need this mark. And without this mark, you will not be able to buy, you will not be able to sell. You won't be able to buy your groceries. Without this number, how are you going to survive? Something that will be mandated, compulsory for everyone. You cannot do without it. And of course, this will invariably involve the banking system. Right? Everything will be made to conform to the one world system, one world standards of the coming one world ruler. Because that is his mark, you see. You want to live in his world? You want to buy things or sell things in his world? You need his mark. This one world mark of the one world ruler. And so, there will be a one world currency. It will be a cashless society that will one day emerge. And the world is moving towards that, is it not? Now we have credit cards. I mean, we try not to use cash. Use credit cards. So on and so forth. One day, you don't even need the credit card. There'll be this number you'll have, right, imprinted or implanted on your right hand or in your forehead. I think, you know, in the future, what is implanted or imprinted is something that will not affect us or affect your features. It will not make you look ugly, all right? There'll be no scarring. It will be cosmetically very, very, you know, good. Or else nobody will want it. Something that everyone will want. Something that will be implanted or imprinted on your right hand or on your forehead or in your forehead. And so there will come a time, you know, there will be no more bank books. Gone will be the days of bank books and safe deposit boxes. You know, a microchip can, today in our high-tech society and computer age, a microchip can be easily planted into our right hand or into our forehead, which will contain all of our personal data and financial information. The transactions can be done with this chip, all right? No need for paper, no need for cash. Everything will be done electronically. Everything will be done wirelessly. I mean, we want to have all these things, don't we? The world is moving along this line. Don't we see that? No forms to fill. No numbers to remember. No need for passwords. Sometimes we have so many of such numbers and passwords we forget. Often forget the passwords and so on and so forth. In the future, no need for all these passwords, no need for all these PINs, right? Personal identification numbers. Every number will be standardized. 666, right? No need for credit cards, no need for debit cards, no need for identity cards even, and no need for passports either. Everything can be done through this chip. chip, all right, with all your information inside. In a one world system where everything is connected, you see, every government is connected, every country is connected. One central information base, database. Is the computer today powerful to do this? I'm no computer expert. I'll let the computer experts answer that question. And all this high-tech stuff will make our life very convenient and very comfortable. But it would mean one thing. It would mean giving up our privacy. It would mean giving up our freedom. And people will be willing to give up their privacy and to give up their freedom for all this convenience, you see. And one man will have the power to control everyone and everything, and he will have the right to decide whether we live or we die. Whether we starve or we eat. He will have that power. And the current global economic recession, some people call it a tsunami. It's not something to take lightly. And really, the current global economic recession provides the impetus for such a one-world economy to take shape. A one-world economy with a one-world currency and banking system, things will be stable. Things will be steady and secure. No more fluctuations, you see. Everyone will prosper with such a system. And those who follow the false prophet, who worship the Antichrist and receive his number, will finally, the Bible tells us, will finally be cast into the lake of fire. And this we read in Revelation chapter 19 verse 20. You can read it for yourself. And already today there is a device that can make this happen. A number in your right hand or in your forehead. It's a device. You know, the RFID chip. RFID. Stands for Radio Frequency Identification Chip. This RFID chip can store all your personal data, medical data, banking data, whatever data, all right, into this tiny little chip that can be implanted in your right hand or your forehead. And I'm just asking, and I'm just wondering, could this be the mark of the Antichrist? The Bible has a whole lot of prophecy. And the Bible, what it says, is always true. What it says will happen will surely happen. Many prophecies concerning the first coming of Christ, all fulfilled. Bible has even more prophecies on the second coming of Christ and of the end of the world. They will also all be fulfilled. And it's without doubt here in Revelation 13, if you read the scriptures, the common and the natural sense, the plain reading of the scriptures, tell us that there will be this one man, the Antichrist, who will come. There will be a one world order. There will be a one world system. There will be a one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world economy. And all masterminded and controlled by the unholy Trinity. The devil, the Antichrist, and a false prophet. And so, dear friends, in such perilous times, what should we do? We better be warned. And we better beware. And not only that, we better be prepared. Be prepared for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And make sure we don't fall on the wrong side. We better be on the right side. On the side of Christ, not the Antichrist. And in order to do this, how you must know his words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, even the words of prophecy. And God has wonderfully, supernaturally preserved all these words for us, so that we may know them for sure, and be protected, preserved, right? That we might guard ourselves from falling away, from being trapped and tricked and deceived by Satan. So take note of this. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. So we have now been warned. So let us arm ourselves. Armed ourselves with the wisdom of God, with the Word of God, and with the Spirit of God in our hearts. And if you want to study into end time events further, I would urge you to read these two books written by our beloved pastor, his commentary on the book of Daniel, Visions of the Princely Prophet, right? And then the second book is study of the book of Revelation, Coming World Events Unveiled, right? These two books are available at the book table outside. And you want to get a hold of them if you don't have, and then start reading, start studying. And our pastor has a knack of writing things very simply, relevantly, practically, and commenting on the Holy Scriptures so that we might understand and might find it also important to apply all these truths in our lives today. So may the Lord help us. Be warned and beware. One world is coming. But we don't look for this one world. We look for the world of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus will return. He will set up his kingdom here on earth and rule 1,000 years. And we, his saints, will rule with him. And let's look forward to that. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that we are not kept in the dark. Thou who hast all knowledge, who knows the end from the beginning, has given to us the Holy Scriptures. And how we thank thee for the words of prophecy in this book. How we must believe and trust, hear and study and obey all the words of this prophecy, so that in the last day we might stand and not fall. So help us to be ready to expect and look forward eagerly to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that you will protect us, Lord. You will preserve us to the very end. Those of us who are thy children, we know you will keep us from being deceived by the Antichrist or the false prophet. You will protect us from receiving the mark of the beast, for we are already sealed by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwelling in our hearts. So keep us and help all those who still do not know thee to know thee for sure by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would not delay in believing but be saved even today. So Lord, bless everyone here this morning. Grant us thy grace for the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.